Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear, where we discuss what it's like to be a man in a modern world, and we are not afraid to be men inside of this modern world. Tonight, we're going to talk about two subjects. One is an old-fashioned, outdated way of looking at the world, and it's an old-fashioned word that we really don't use anymore, and it's called prudence. The other thing we're going to talk about is estrogen. You're not going to like when we get to the estrogen part. I definitely don't like the estrogen, and I'm going to tell you why here in a minute. But we're going to discuss these two things tonight on today's show. And it's going to be like a little bit of a fire hose. I don't know how long the show's going to be, just for the simple fact that, guys, I am exhausted. I have been going at it all day long, and I'm looking forward to a shower. I've got 6 pounds of beef cooking on the grill, and I'm ready to get next to my wife and just be relaxed. So we're going to go ahead and knock this out. Like I said, this is a fire hose type show. So if you get confused in the middle of this, you may want to rewind a little bit, because it's gonna probably scare some of you, and it's gonna challenge some of you in a certain way that you may not be used to, me included. So before we get to that, though, I want to thank our sponsor. We have a great sponsor. It's Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. If you're into the trapping, hunting, deer calls, I think that's illegal, coyote calls, a lot of different outdoor stuff. You need trap tags. You need tags, bass tags to put on fish and trout lines and traps and stuff like that. He has got you covered. I've known him for several years now, and he's turned into a really good friend of mine. Just basically because he's such a good person, he's such an honest person, and he's got a great business. So if you're looking for those type things, you really need to give him a shot at your business, because once you do that, you're going to be a customer. That I have no doubt. So prudence. What an old-fashioned term. Prudence. You know, you kind of think when you first hear it, it's like being a prude. You know, somebody that's just all gnarled up in the mouth all the time and just a humbug about everything. Prude, yes. Prudence, very different. Prudence is the ability to think carefully about the future in a way that it's very logical, to keep you from making mistakes today that you will have to pay for tomorrow. Now, when you look back at our grandparents and their grandparents, and if you've had the pleasure of talking to some people that lived in the Depression like I have, they look at the world through a view of prudence. And sometimes it seems kind of weird, but a lot of times there's a lot of wisdom in the way that they look at things. Now see, prudence used to be a tradition that was taught to young men. You know, you had your courage, and you had your honesty, and you had, you know, your education and everything else. But prudence was also up there, the same with courage. Going to slay the dragon for the beautiful princess, that was right along the same line as prudence. The ability to carefully think about tomorrow, today, your actions today, how are they going to affect down the road? It's an interesting way to start trying to look at things, because I promise you, if you do, you will change some of your habits. It's something that I've tried to do for several years. I'm human. I make mistakes. I get excited. I want something. Or I make a decision without thinking about it prudently. And most of the time when I do that, I'm really happy at the beginning, and I've got a very sad face at the end, which could have been avoided if I'd have been prudence. So, what are some examples of understanding how to think like prudence? Debt. See, you get excited when you're looking at a new toy. You know, us guys, we want to have the biggest, baddest four-wheel drive truck that's jacked 19 feet off the ground, gets 2 gallons of diesel per mile. It's sexy. Our friends are going to be jealous. The girls are going to want us because we have this truck. It's $70,000. Are we going to be making any money with this truck? See, that's a prudent question to ask. But most people, the answer for that is no. It's not a business truck. It's not something you're using in business. It's just something you want to ride around in. And if you can afford it, then that's one thing. If you've got to stretch for that truck, are you being prudent? See, debt's an interesting thing. I've got a little life experience with debt. When I was first got married to Cindy, we're in the military, making a whopping $1,100 a month before they took out taxes in Alaska, where stuff was very expensive. And we wanted stuff. We wanted furniture for the house, and we wanted the cool clothes, and we wanted to go out to eat all the time, and we wanted all this stuff, but we didn't think prudent about it. After about 3 years of this, it became clear that the line on my debt was getting closer to what I actually made. And then anything that was unexpected, we had to go get into more debt. Until the point where I finally started listening to Dave Ramsey, our income basically met our outgo in bills. And we still had to eat. It was not a very good time. It was not showing prudence at all. But that's a good lesson that most people hopefully learn young. And when you get older, you can set yourself up to have a better future because you don't act like this way your whole life. Debt is one of these things you need to look at. Prudence is what you're going to borrow money on. Is it a declining investment or is it inclining investment? You buy a car, you lose money automatically. Should you go in debt because now you're actually paying on debt with interest on something that's losing value? If you can afford it, great. If you can't, you don't need the biggest, baddest, newest, expensivest, most technologically advanced vehicle if you really can't afford it. Because the newness wears off. And what was that comedian when I was growing up? He was a black dude, did a bunch of movies. I can see him in my face. What is his name? I'll remember it here in a minute. But in one of his, he did a bunch of movies, but he's also started as a sitcom guy. And he said, you know, like you get a new girlfriend and it's the best sex you ever have. It's like eating a Ritz for the first time. But after like 4 months, you realize it's really just saltines. That's kind of the way new stuff is when we buy. After a while, it's just saltines. It's not as exciting as it was before. Debt in college. See, I just heard a friend of mine, which I know he listens to these. I'm not going to mention his name. He told his child, I will pay for your college if it's in a science, computer programming, engineering, or some hard skill like that. If you want to go get a degree in general business, you can, but you're paying for it. See, that's prudence right there. Because spending all that money on a degree that don't mean crap today is irresponsible. Because, you know, yeah, he will get the paper and he will be with everybody else that's got that degree, then everybody doesn't really care. Engineer gets a job pretty quick. So if you want to have something that the money's well spent on, I'll pay for that, or computer programming, or a hard science, something like that, or skill. See, that's prudence. But when you hear today all these commercials, and you always hear all these millennials whining and complaining because they have college debt, really what they're saying, if you break it down, we have college debt on a degree that makes no money and there's no jobs. Now, see, that falls back to the parents for not being teaching prudence to children when they start asking questions. It falls back to the school counselors that give them a bunch of garbage about your degree and how you're going to change the world and all that type stuff. Debt for college can be very prudent, and it can be very non-prudent at the same time. You have to think about what that is. If you're running a business, it's easy to always want the newest, latest, and greatest, whatever your business is. You want a better building, you want to have whatever for your employees, but you better have some prudence before you pull a trigger on those, or you won't be in business very long. So you're thinking about, how is this going to affect me in the future? Most people live week to week, and they also think week to week. They get a bunch of debt thinking they could never lose their job, and pretty much everybody does before it's over. The other thing about it is sex. See, a lot of the prudence is based in a lot of traditions. And we as Americans today, especially young Americans, we think traditions are silly. Well, when a girl has sex, she gets emotionally attached. When a guy has sex, especially when he's younger, it's just really cool. And he's not emotionally attached. See, in the traditions of the past, women, because there was no welfare, and the parents would probably disown her, and she would be living pretty much as a maid for her whole life, she would stay virtuous until she got married. But now, no one believes in those traditions, so people are having sex like rabbits all the way down to the eighth grade. It's not prudent. For the guy, 3 minutes of pleasure, because let's be honest, that's about all it's going to take, can cost you 18 years of child payment. 3 minutes for 18 years. If you marry her, and y'all really shouldn't have been married just because y'all had sex, and it's not a very good person you had sex with, now, not only do you have child payments, you're probably going to have alimony payments if you end up getting a divorce. Or you're going to be miserable and wait till the child leaves to do that. Not the most prudent way to think about sex. See, I grew up in the era of the AIDS epidemic. And I was amazed, because I was floored, even as a youngster in the mid-80s when all this was going on, that people were still having unprotected sex with AIDS commercials on every 15 seconds. And they were showing the saddest looking people in the hospital when they're down to like 70 pounds of bone and skin. And people still could not have enough prudence to not have sex, or at a minimum, wear a condom. Actions of today, I guarantee you, are going to reflect what it is. You ignore school. You never learn to self-educate. You're never on time to anything. You want to sleep late. You build these habits. Down the road, you're poor. You're living in a house you don't want to be living in, or you're renting for your whole life. The only woman you can attract is about the same quality as what you've shown up to this point. And you pretty much work yourself to death for very little money, because no one will give you responsibility because of your actions all through your life. See, all those individual actions lead to a future. People always want to be in the present, and they want to ignore all of the bad decisions they made in the past and blame somebody else of why they're not where they want to be. Prudence is one of these things. If you learn it and you start thinking this way, real men will start making better decisions. See, here's one that's going to make a lot of you uncomfortable. This is why this is something that you need to think about a lot of different things. You have a baby. You're excited. You love the baby. And your wife may or may not breastfeed, which also has consequences for the future. And then as soon as you can, what does the doctor tell you to do is put that baby on rice cereal. Have you ever looked at the ingredients in the rice cereal? Or if you don't breastfeed, have you ever looked at the ingredients on the formula? There's two things you're going to see in both of those that's going to be really high on the ingredient list. One is corn syrup, which is a sugar, which makes them, the babies learn that if it doesn't taste sweet and hyperpalatable, it's not good. And then the soy oils and everything else that they put in those can cause a huge difference to the hormone levels of that child as far as estrogen goes, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. So basically, because you want to put a kid on formula without thinking about the future, or you start putting them on high sugared grain cereals and you're going to teach them hyperpalatable food is all they ever want to eat, then you wonder why they won't eat real food. See, that's not being prudent from the beginning. And you're leading that child down a pretty particular road by teaching them hyperpalatable sugar foods are the way to go, that you're pretty much rest assured they're probably going to be fat, they're probably going to be diabetic, they're probably going to have a lot of heart issues, and they're probably going to end up with Alzheimer's because you've trained them from the beginning to eat sugar at every meal. See, prudence would not allow you to do that. No matter what the doctor says, a prudent man will think this stuff through. Look at the ingredients and go, hell no, I'm not doing that to my kid. The problem is most people don't think things through and they have issues down the road. Hyperactive kids that can't sit still, they can't listen. You got them hopped up on sugar from the day they were 6 months old. You think they're going to have an issue or two? Prudence. Being weak in the body. We're not going to talk about training that much on this episode, but just think about what prudence means to be weak. If you're a kid, that means you're probably going to be in the band, or you're going to be, nothing wrong with that, or you're going to be a computer nerd, which today seems to be what most kids want to be. But you're not going to be very good at sports, and you're not going to be very good when you go out and play with your buddies around the neighborhood. You're going to be the last one picked because you're weak. And that can affect a kid, their self-esteem, over a long time because they realize they're not as good as other kids are doing certain things. Weak kids cause problems. Now, when we get older, staying weak, like I said, if you can't get off the toilet, it's kind of miserable. If every time you get out of the lazy boy, someone from a distance with no sound would think someone put a bunch of bees on your gonads and you're flailing around trying to get away from them to get out of the chair. You hit a little bitty pebble in a parking lot, and just that little bit of difference because you don't have the muscle, you fall down and you break something. You can't open a jar of mayonnaise. Everything feels like it weighs 900 pounds and you're not very productive as a person because you're so weak. Prudence would go, I need to be strong of mind and strong in body. Coach Ripito has got a great quote, strong people are harder to kill and they're more productive. What you do today, I promise you, is going to affect tomorrow. How you handle your money is going to affect where you are in the future. How you handle your body is going to affect how you are in the future. What you put in your kid's mouth and your own mouth will affect you dramatically in the future, for good or for bad. Buying a house you can't afford will affect you dramatically. Silly debt, using a credit card to buy McDonald's, I don't see how you can think that's very prudent. An old-fashioned word, but it's got a ton of firepower to the grown man that's willing to look at his world through the eyes of the old-fashioned prudence. Now, I'm going to talk about estrogen, but before I do, I'm going to tell you a very personal story. If you've listened to me for any amount of time, I do not take pills. I now take a pill. It's not something that, from what I understand, I'm going to have to take long term. When I go, I take hormone treatment therapy, which is testosterone to keep my testosterone about 500 to 600, which is about an average male. I've chosen the doctor that I go to because he really pays attention, and he's not it doesn't seem to be a drug dealer. He listens to the way that I want things to be, and he tries to work around that. Very different when the first time that I took testosterone with a local doctor. He didn't really know anything. He looked at some blood work, and if it was a certain level, yeah, we're not going to give you more because get it higher or lower because it's too high. That was about the extent of it. This dude I'm dealing with digs deep in all of the hormones because that's his job, is hormone therapy, way more than just testosterone. Well, this last trip, I went down there, and he's looking at me really funny after he goes over my blood work. He goes, "Clint, you've been here with me a year, and I've been watching one of the numbers on your blood work, and it's not going down with as much as you exercise and as clean as you eat, and it's starting to get me concerned." And I'm like thinking, holy crap, what is it? And he tells me that my estrogen is really high. And he goes, "I know how you think. I want you to go. I'm going to write you a prescription. You take this pill once a week. And if you decide after your research you don't want to take it, you just throw the prescription in the trash." Because I balked when he brought up a prescription. He said, "I think it's best if you do your own research." He said, "Before you go, I want you to take off your shirt." And he looked at me and he goes, "Now, the reason not only is your blood test showing this," he says, "you got veins coming out of your arms. You got veins coming out of your biceps and triceps. You got veins in your shoulders that I can physically see. Every time you move your arm, you can see your chest goes up and down." He said, "You're not a fat person. But when we get down to your belly, that just doesn't seem to go away, does it?" And I went, "No. Because I've been eating really clean now for a year, and that just doesn't seem to move." And then he went up and he touched the side of my boobie. And he said, "That," and then he touched my stomach and said, "That is because your estrogen levels are too high." And he said, "It's dangerous." And I'm like, "Well, why are they too high? I don't eat soy. I eat very little chicken. I don't eat legumes." He gave me this long speech that we won't go into. Basically, because I was a fat boy for so many years, eating a standard American diet for so many years, that it crept up my estrogen. And once you hit a certain level of estrogen, it changes your fat composition and turns it almost to an organ that produces estrogen on its own. So this pill he's got me on, which I can't pronounce, is supposedly going to slowly lower my estrogen over time until I can get rid of the basically what turns out to be a girl's belly and a girl's boob. I don't have girl boobs yet, but I could see what he's talking about when he touched it. Then once that's gone, we'll take you off this and you'll probably be good to go. And I'm like, I'll have to do some research. So I did. Guys, if you have loose, floppy fat right around your belly button, and you've got excess fat around your boobs, you might want to get a blood work. Because I'm getting ready to go over a little bit about estrogen in men. Now, you're supposed to have estrogen as a man. You won't function without it. An average male has 40, let me make sure I get this right, because I don't know exactly what this means, but it's like a small percentage of a milliliter. 10 to 40 PS-milliliter. So it's like a subset of a milliliter, and a milliliter is really, really tiny. That is a normal male that's an adult. What does this mean? Well, when I started doing research, how did I get to the point where I was producing estrogen to cause a fat level to produce estrogen? Because it seems kind of like a very lifetime of being non-prudent. Now I've got to take a pill or not take a pill and deal with the consequences. Because basically, the way I look at it from all this research is, if I don't do something about it, I'm going to turn into a girl. I like girls. I love girls. Girls are pretty. They're soft. They smell good. I don't want to be one. That's not what I am. If you have high estrogen, have you ever wondered in our modern day of geniuses that does not understand enough biological science to understand that if you're born with a penis, you're a man. If you're born with a vagina, you're a woman. How do they have a transvestite man turn into a woman? They grow boobs just like a woman. They start getting curves just like a woman. Their voice goes on a higher pitch. Now they still have junk. They can fix that with an operation. How do they change a man into a woman? They give him estrogen. So if your estrogen gets too high, you're damn near on the way of being a non, well, I guess everybody eats his own, but whether you want to be or not, you're taking the path to being a transvestite shim. That doesn't sound cool to me. How do you get too much estrogen? This will freak you out when you think about it. A lot of it comes from food. If you're on municipal water, there's probably a good chance you're getting it out of your tap water. When you take a lot of antibiotics, I want you to think about kids too. When you see all these little guys running around and playing and they got girl boobs on them, think about this. Lots of antibiotics will cause your estrogen to go up. Certain herbs, like I said, plants are medicine. Herbs will cause it to go up. Ginkgo and ginseng. So if you're a ginseng digger, sell it. Don't eat it. Unless, no, I'm not going to say that. A lot of the mental health medicine that people take drastically raises their estrogen. There's a lot of people who takes a lot of stuff for anxiety and everything else. I want you to grasp the food part of this. When you eat a hamburger, it's not even a milligram of estrogen. When you eat an Impossible Burger, you know, the new plant food. If you look at the ingredients, it's damn near dog food. That thing that, you know, the new meatless meat everybody's talking about. 40 milligrams of estrogen. Do a little bit of research on how much birth control is. I'll leave that one up to you. It'll scare the piss out of you if you do. 6 cups of soy milk on a regular basis because people are trying to be healthy will cause a guy to grow boobs. Basically, it's hormone therapy of estrogen. Soy is terrible with estrogen. Six cups on a regular basis. Cups are small. That's not glasses. So if your boy's drinking soy milk, why do you think people always make the joke soy boys? Because of girls. When I did research on the top foods of soy, flax is always number one. Soy is always number two. And the protein source for all veggies, the legume, is number three. I can make a joke about that, but I'm going to let that go. So what you can eat has a lot to do with the estrogen. I don't eat a lot of estrogen. But because being fat for all these years and eating a lot of grains because I thought they were healthy, and maybe I had stuff with soy in there and didn't know it. You're not going to get me to use any type of soy oil when I cook. Mine is from not having Prudence from probably 20 years on to 49. What does having high estrogen really do to a male? Besides it's turning you into a girl, which pisses me off to say, which is embarrassing to say, by the way, but I'm trying to be honest on this podcast. You get a limp pecker. How many guys do you know today that have ED? Limp pecker. You grow breast and belly fat, and I'm talking right around your belly button. You know the guys I'm talking about. If you're one of them, you can wear size 40 pants, but if you put a freaking tape measure around your middle and it's flabby and it's reading 50, there's a good chance you've turned yourself into an estrogen machine. Loss of muscle. That one really pisses me off. Because I've worked my butt off and gained quite a bit of muscle in a year. And then that was like, how much did I not get from working that hard because of my bad non-prudence earlier in my life? Heart attacks and strokes. Infertility. How many men are having problems producing kids with their wife? Couldn't be from all the tofu and the soy and all the processed food that it's got soy in it. It couldn't be from all that. Feeling exhausted. Hair loss. Some of that I've been told can be genetic. I wonder how much of it is because of the estrogen that guys are eating today in our modern diet. Here's one that's kind of scary. Your balls actually shrink. I can't tell a difference yet, but I don't want that to happen. That just seems wrong. You lose bone density, so when you lost your muscle and you fall, you break things, because weak things break. You get hot flashes just like a woman. I haven't experienced that. I don't want to. You have trouble focusing. Have you talked to a lot of people lately? obesity, because you're producing fat, and you have liver problems. And I will stop it at there. Just from a guy's point of view, a limp pecker and shrinking of balls should be enough. Forget about the heart attacks. Forget about the breaking of bones because they're getting less dense. Forget about the muscle loss and the liver problems, growing boobs, hair falling out, because a male is not designed to have a lot of estrogen in their body unless you're trying to transition, which still then, I don't think that's probably the most prudent thing to do. But to each his own. We live in a free country. I don't care what you do, just don't get me to do it. So estrogen. Have you ever looked at the food, the actual ingredients, and you see that soy's about in everything? Flaxseed oils. Beans are used for fillers. See, what is a prudent man supposed to do? I'd say he can either ignore this or he can take actions against it. See, him telling me that estrogen makes you more feminine, not that I have anything against feminine in women, is not exactly in my self-identity. So I have a hard time with that. I've heard doctors on podcasts talking about studies that eating two modern regular chicken breasts from the grocery store that's not free-ranged and it's fed soy its whole life is the equivalent of eating a birth control pill. How much chicken do you eat that's not free range and it's not fed soy? To me, it's actually pretty scary. Why, when I look around today at young kids and teenagers, do they look like they have a muscle loss problem? You watch what they eat and it becomes pretty clear. I bet their estrogen levels are out of this world. Why guys seem to act more like girls as our civilization moves forward. I wonder how much of that is actually because we are turning into girls. Now see, somewhere down the road, you're going to have a culture that's not turning into girls, that's going to try to do something to this country. Now, whenever that happens in the future, I have no idea. But there's a lot of cultures that aren't having this problem. That is going to be an unfair fight, no matter how much American flags you wave around. There's a reason the Army quit training the general soldiers to throw grenades because they're too physically weak to throw a 2.5-pound metal ball 25 meters so they don't catch shrapnel themselves. I know a lot of guys hate going to the doctor. A lot of guys are scared to death of going to the doctor. But if you take your shirt off tonight, look in the mirror, and you got flabby fat just around your belly, and you look at your chest, and you realize, yeah, there's something going on there, you might want to go get a blood test. And between you and your doctor, you need to figure out what you need to do about that. It could just be you just eat bad and you're fat. Or it could be that you've got estrogen problems. That's something you should know. Because without good information, you can't make good decisions. So I'm going to leave it at that, because I know out there in America today, there are millions of people drinking their soy milk, eating their chicken breast, munching on their vegan protein-approved legumes, and becoming more womanlike by the hour. So, like I said, this could be uncomfortable for some. It was uncomfortable for me. But hopefully, it helps somebody that listens to this. Be prudent about your health, because you only got one shot at this. We're all going to die eventually, but I'd rather, as the Japanese say, die well.